Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this episode, we have Oshika, who is the founder of Merely Mindful. She's with us right now, so I'm going to hand over to her and ask, what is it that you would like to talk to me about today?
Thank you so much, Poppy, for sharing the space with you. I'm grateful that you are pregnant and we are in this beautiful energy of your child, which is in your womb. So we are here to talk about the journey of your child in your womb. We are here to talk about how you can take your entire parenthood, motherhood, and pregnancy in your own hand and how it actually shapes the future of your child. So yeah, let's deep dive into it.
Amazing. And I've taken a look at your work online and I've seen that you are really into conscious conception, which is, it was interesting for me because that's where I started with the baby that we sadly lost in August. So it was my second pregnancy. And I went down the whole route of consciously conceiving that baby. And so I know a lot about it. I did it myself. And I really would like to start there, as I think a lot of listeners are, you know, thinking about conceiving, but also a lot of listeners will be possibly thinking about their future pregnancy. So tell us, what is conscious conception?
Amazing. So conscious conception is this old Ayurvedic practice of consciously calling in the spirit of your baby into your life. So when a sperm and an egg, they meet, and the moment of conception happens, the energy around the sperm and the egg forms the DNA, forms the mold of the DNA of your child. If you are living in love and light, you will understand that your child's mold is created in love and light, because your feelings and your thoughts are going to your child through biochemical signals that's constantly flowing all of the energy and all of your vibrations to your baby for the entire 9 months. So consciously conceiving is the act where for good amount of 3-4 months, you go inwards, create space for your baby, not just physically in your life, but spiritually and mentally as well, ensuring that you have all of those traits and you are living that life which you want your baby to nurture and grow into. So that's mostly what conscious conception is mostly about. But I am excited to talk to you about your journey, that you consciously welcomed your child and the child arrived in your life, in your womb, had certain time and decided to leave. So,
The way that I would describe it is that, like, you, if you invited over some guests into your house, you wouldn't just invite them into a messy house, would you? You would tidy up, you might play some music, you might cook a meal, you would curate the experience for them. And I really like that analogy when thinking about your body, mind and spirit when you're conceiving. Like, how do you want to invite this, you, to use your word, spirit baby into your life? So I went through a meditation practice, which guided me through thinking about my womb and making it a really safe space for the baby. I also did a lot of work around why it was that we wanted a second child. And I invited Tom on that journey. In fact, I probably forced him on that journey. And I remember waking up at 5 a.m. and writing a pros and cons list and then showing it to him and then thinking about those cons and how we could turn them into opportunities and really getting kind of anchored in the decision of why it was that we wanted another baby. And I'm so thankful for the conscious conception for that, mostly because what I would say is that when we lost that baby, I almost felt bitter towards the whole process. And I felt like, you know, I was visualizing the spirit baby. I was communicating with them, you know, sending them love and building that relationship early on. And then to have that taken away, I felt like this is just random, unfair life. Like, to think, like, it almost gave me this illusion of control around my body and the pregnancy. And then that was just taken away. And I'm keen to explore this with you. And then now reflecting back, I felt like a bit sort of bitter and like, oh, that was a bit of a waste of time. But now, obviously, having the second pregnancy, I realized that all of that work I did still applies. And perhaps it just, you know, it wasn't I'm gonna say it wasn't the right time because that's such a shit cliche thing to say, but it makes sense backwards. And I'm grateful for the work I did, but I can't lie and say that it was beautiful because ultimately we lost that baby that we consciously conceived and love. So then you turn around and you say, well, why?
Amazing, amazing. Yes. Why do we want to have babies in the first place? I'm glad that you did your pros and cons checklist. But this deep desire that a woman has of bringing a child or the soul into this planet is something is of a big mystery. I'm very spiritual and I understand and have come to realization that our children are our awakeners. And there is a purpose of any kind of relationship that we have in our lives. Your husband serves a purpose. Your parents are serving a purpose. You yourself are serving purpose in the lives of so many women that you are inspiring today, right? So what was the purpose of that child? Maybe the purpose of the child was to give Poppy a conscious start to her life. Maybe the purpose of this child was for Poppy to go through certain lessons and learn her lessons to be able to welcome this
This one,
pregnancy with
yeah.
this beautiful open arms. The purpose was for Poppy to learn that things maybe can't be forced and it will happen all in divine due time.
Yeah.
So, what are those things? What is this deep desire that we all have to raise children and to bring children and then to go through such journeys where we feel alone when we miscarry or when we have stillbirth? Or then I have also met people who have lost their babies after 1 year, right? So, your baby is coming into your life to teach you a lesson, to guide you somewhere, to show you this beautiful realm of life. So that is my two cents on your experience, Poppy.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's a nice way of reframing it and trying to see the value that that experience brought. But I must say, it didn't make me want to kind of go through the. I wasn't ready to do the meditations of seeing this womb of it because obviously I don't know if you know, but we conceived quite quickly afterwards, and I think from that after the miscarriage, I went with very like logic rather than the stuff you're talking about. I went with like. You know what helped me and what helped me stay strong was that one in three. Get a grip, this happens, this is the cruel side of nature. And like I found that really helped to anchor me more so than what lessons, because maybe I wasn't ready to have that conversation yet. But now it's interesting that you've raised that because I could totally look back and tell you. You know, lots of things that I've learned through the experience, and I would genuinely say, would I take it back? No. And that is really your answer there. But I want to get on to the stuff that will be relevant to the pregnant people listening right now. So let's talk about like pregnancy and your kind of perspective on how to have an empowering and positive pregnancy in the Ayurvedic principles and your ethos and I guess what the way that you walk through your pregnancy, that would be interesting.
So the Ayurvedic principles are called Garbh Sanskar. That's nurturing your womb, if you can call it. So there is research now and this thought that consciousness in your womb kind of lies and starts at the beginning of conception. But then there are researches and discussions. Someone says that, oh, the soul arrives in the womb around second trimester or third trimester or whatever. But the baby who is kicking in your belly or the baby who is sometimes moving with your happiness, we kind of know that we are in tune and sync with our child. Just after second trimester, when your baby starts listening to you, your baby is for sure, since the beginning, tuning into your feelings. It is your whole postpartum will become easy and smooth if you nurture your baby in the right way during your pregnancy. So first and foremost, the most important thing would that I really talk about is stress. Not stressing about anything is one of the easiest thing that one can do to have a fruitful pregnancy. mindfulness is something that really has helped me throughout my 9 months. There were times when I used to cry and I used to be like, oh my God, I'm doing so many meditations, but this hormone is taking over me, you know? So it's not that you can be like a warrior in those 9 months, but small things that you can do as a ritual would be, you can curate a music playlist and you can listen to the same music playlist throughout those 9 months. And you will see when your child or your boy or girl is out there, your boy or girl will connect to the music and that music will soothe him or her. So music is one of the most biggest tool that I have enjoyed using throughout my pregnancy and even postpartum. Till now, my baby listens to one song while falling asleep, and there is one song that whenever I play, she will soothe to. So let's just have it that way. Eating is something, and your diet is something that you can really nourish your body with. And I'm sure, Poppy, that everyone does that. However, there are certain herbs that you should take to nourish your body. There are certain exercises that one should do on a daily basis to ensure that their body is able to rest as well as flourish, to ensure that you are making a kidney or a liver every week and every now and then. So ensuring that your body is in a safe space. The third thing which you have been talking about would be the meditation part of it. What happens is when we meditate and connect with our child is that we don't feel lost during postpartum, because there is something that is grounding us on a daily basis. So certain quick things would be maybe walk on the ground, go out in a park, do some grounding exercise, talk to your baby. Your baby can listen to you. If you want to make your baby a fashion designer, watch fashion shows, read those fashion magazines, you know. So whatever you want your child to have, you should start doing those activities yourself. Don't watch any crime drama. Don't watch any thriller. Ensure that you are always in a relaxed mood. Try and avoid situations that will give you stress. So just ensure that you are in your cute little bubble for 9 months and give yourself as much as love as possible during those 9 months. Yeah.
Yeah. I it's funny you said you used the word bubble and you're talking about connecting to baby, because I am just in the process of finishing up a script for a 3-hour track to be listened to during pregnancy and birth. It's called The Oxytocin Bubble. And the idea is it's like connecting in with your baby throughout pregnancy and then bringing them on the journey of labor. So you are literally holding your tummy. You are visualizing this bubble, this shimmering bubble around you, and realizing that the baby is going to be the key to oxytocin. Because when we think about our babies, we will usually experience a rise in oxytocin, and that is the hormone that orchestrates labor. So I've been loving writing this, especially being pregnant. The words are coming to me because I'm like, you know, I'm feeling the kicks, and it's just, I'm so much more connected. And I'm also writing this track for myself. I don't listen to any of my other tracks, but this one I want to use during labor. So it's been so joyous to write. But as I was hearing you talk, I was thinking about the kind of the person that sat there going, this is unrealistic. I don't have time. I work in a very stressful job. You know, I've got someone, a loved one with an illness, and I feel immense pressure now to be this safe haven, stress-free space for my baby that I'm going to imprint on them forever. So they might be feeling pressured. So what tips do you have for that person who is feeling kind of worried by what we're talking about? Because perhaps they haven't had a smooth bubble, enjoyable, stress-free pregnancy. They have felt stress. What would you say to them about what we're talking about to kind of ease their worries?
Feeling stressed in pregnancy is such a common thing, right? And there are people who are going through hard situations almost every day while they are pregnant. However, one has to realize that being mindful isn't that difficult as we think as it is. Maybe taking your shower with your mind can be something that is enough to connect to your baby. Walking in a park is a way to connect to your baby. So it's not that you have to take out your 30 minutes to sit and connect to your baby. Your baby is there with you throughout the day. But to ensure and understand that you are in a safe space mindfully, you need to do certain exercises to reach to that space. If there's something troubling you, just journal your thoughts out. Just take it out. Easiest thing to do, call your friend. Call one of your friend who is like your bestie, who will give you only positivity. Call that person if you're not feeling in the right space or time. Ensure you're able to talk to your partner about your thoughts and feelings. Storing it in your head and ruminating over it is much bigger a loss rather than just taking out of your mouth and processing it. Emotions aren't something that one has to suppress. Emotions have to be processed. So just process your emotion, and whatever stage of pregnancy you are in, even today can be a beautiful start. I was 5 months pregnant when I decided that I wanted to do home birth. And for a moment, I thought, oh, is it late? It's never too late, you know? Just start doing that thing today. Be your beautiful version today. Connect with your child just today. Don't think that you have to do it for 9 months or 5 months or whatever months. Just be in the moment today. See what you can do for your baby and yourself today.
Yeah, I like that because you're not saying you mustn't have any stress. It's like have tools to cope with the stress and be in a mindful space so that when you do have those stressful situations, it doesn't feel so intense because you're starting from a place of being mindful. You have that thing that you do every morning that then sets the tone for your day. You're not just getting swept up in one stressful, the stressful situations. I love that. And one thing I've been doing is it's really lovely is like the baby won't be moving very much, and then I'll take some oils, and then I'll lay back, and then I'll start rubbing my baby and rubbing my tummy and tickling my tummy, and then the baby will just start responding immediately unless it's sleeping. So I often start off like quite softly because I don't want to wake them up, but that's a nice thing to do to just immediately bond with them. And I feel like that since the movements, that's really helped me to connect in because we can't see them, right? And they're just there, like this baby's like right here. And if we could see through this tummy, we would see the baby. And imagine that, like how instantly you'd be like, my baby. I think it's that thing was where we can't see something. We have to kind of find ways to almost visually and spiritually connect with them because we just can't see them. So, yeah.
Funny that you spoke about this practice where you oiled your belly, because that suddenly brought me memories of my pregnancy days. So there's this beautiful Ayurvedic practice of called Abhyanga, which is the process or ritual of massaging your body daily to connect with even your internal self and your baby. So it's beautiful that you do that. Even I used to do that on a regular basis. It's nurturing your own body, which is caring and doing so much. And also a way to tell your baby that, you know, I am there, and
Yeah.
you connect with your child. Yeah, that's one of the most beautiful ways.
And the nice thing is you often, well, my baby makes me like gives me kind of is immediately responsive. So it's not like, you're having to visualize them and talk to them in your mind and hope that they're receiving the message. It's like you're rubbing your tummy and usually they respond. So yeah. What
Beautiful.
else would you like to talk about?
The support system that our society lacks too much in this current modern environment and situation that we live is something very important. A lot of times we are so much into our pregnancy that we are unable to see what happens after childbirth. And we think, oh, childbirth, and it's done, you know. But what happens after childbirth is your fourth trimester. So it's not just three trimesters. Ayurveda talks about that it is a complete cycle of almost an year, where the next 3 months after your baby is born, you are a newborn. A mother turns in a newborn because a mother is now realizing that she isn't what she was anymore. This human being that I was for 30 years, I am not that person anymore. I have just popped out this human out of my womb, and this body is a temple and a portal where the universe is sending a new soul onto this planet. So there isn't much honoring and much rite of passage which is given to a woman. And in this modern society, we live in such an individualistic bubble that we are unable to connect and provide support to each other. So postpartum is something where nourishment, nurturing, and nesting is the biggest key. No, you can't go to the gym after 3 weeks. No, you shouldn't be going out partying and throwing yourself into your old life back. You need to give yourself space for some time to understand that you are this new being who has blossomed. And this
I need to hear this. I want to go deeper into this, because I feel like with Juniper's pregnancy, my way of kind of coming back alive was putting some makeup on, putting a nice outfit on, taking a few pictures with her, and kind of going, I think I'm all right now. Woohoo! Like, it's almost like, right, let's press play again on what was playing before. And actually it's like, no, scrap that. We need to press play on this new thing that's emerging. So what, in from the world of using Ayurvedic principles, what does postpartum look and feel like for the new mother? So you mentioned like not going out, like, well, what is she doing? What does she look like? How is she feeling? What processes is she going through using the Ayurvedic principles?
All right. So I'll just quickly share what all I did. Maybe that will be easy. So first and foremost is your womb, right? So nurturing and nourishing your womb, which has gone such rigorous processes since past 1 year. So there are a few key things that one can do, and these are all very easy things to do. So one is I did my yoni steaming. So basically taking some herbs and burning them, and the smoke that comes out of those herbs, just standing on them. So all of that nourishment of those herbs goes directly through your vagina into your womb. This is an ancient practice. And nowadays, a lot of people of the West are also, you know, using this. So yoni steaming is something that was done in ancient Indian practices. So I did my yoni steaming 4-5 times during my postpartum. The second was herbal baths. So ensuring that I got all of my herbs, chamomile, lavender, St. John's wort, and whatnot, mixed everything, and I used to run baths for myself. It is very important that I am feeling nourished. I ensured that I was eating as much as I wanted without even seeing that how my body is looking or where my tummy is going or if my thighs have become big or whatnot. So just ensuring that I am eating the right kind of foods, because I'm still breastfeeding. So I also ensured that I was taking all of the herbs that helps in lactation. So I kind of got myself covered in terms of my physical nourishment by doing all of these practices. My mother was here, so that was chef's kiss, you know. For first 15 days, I didn't move much from the bed because it was all normal and natural. I just used to go to the loo and come back to the bed, maybe go to the living room, sit on the sofa. That's mostly it.
Really? So you were just breastfeeding in the bed and then lying down. Were you watching anything? Were you consuming anything? What was your mind doing? What was your partner or husband doing? And you kind of describe what was going on in the house.
We were high on some kind of emotion, and your body starts sending so much of oxytocin for the first 2 weeks, and even in fathers, that for the first 2 weeks, your mind doesn't think about anything and shouldn't think about anything. We celebrate weddings, we celebrate graduations and things like that, but childbirth and motherhood is the thing that we should actually celebrate, because it is the most powerful thing you will ever do in your own life, right? So yes, not moving, not doing anything. I started using the stairs in my house only after what, 10 days. And I was slowly moving into the house. I wasn't doing any chores, not at all. Taking it easy as much as I can, and listening to all of that music that my baby had heard. So connecting with her, listening to all of those music, massaging my baby, ensuring that I am being massaged and I'm being taken care of. So yes, and however you react in your
I'm just having thoughts of Juniper, like me trying to lie in bed and her climbing all over me. I did that the first with Juniper's birth. We pretty much did what you did, what you're describing, but in hospital. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't care about anything other than this bubble right now. Like, it's so, it's not something you have to try and do. You don't have to try and say, I'm going to sit in bed. Or, everything in you wants to do that. And I think there's a real luxury with the first child where you can totally lean into it. But maybe what you're making me think about is now I need to think about, more support so that I can still do those things.
So I remember that the second night or the second day when my daughter was crying or anything, my husband had her, and my mother was offering that she can help. And I was like, no, you don't need to. But then something in my head told me, yes, please take her. Because you as a team, and the effect and the changes that your partnership with your husband goes through after childbirth is something that not many people talk about. Of, that rather than loving each other, you both are pouring love into this thing that has come out of you. And your own cup is empty for each other. So you both look at each other trying to get love, but you don't have to give to each other. So ensuring that your unit is also slightly warm and there is certain love to give to each other is really crucial.
Yeah, I love this. I'm just thinking about my fourth trimester, and I've already been like planning, making sure that like my work is taken care of. I've got a really solid team. I've batch created my content, and like, even things like when I'm going to share the story on socials and just protecting my bubble for as long as possible before I then share, like, what's happened and how we've been and everything. And yeah, it's also, you have to give yourself permission to do this, and to have, you have to also have a plan for it, right? Because what you're talking about there is resting and being still. And if you have more children, you do need to have more hands and more help. And it's okay to ask for that help now in your pregnancy. Book people in. Everyone wants to help, during that time.
And there is nobody is giving you rewards and awards for, just showing up in your second month. There is no hurry, there is no rush. The much more time you will give yourself to heal, you will see longer effects of this when you get older on your body. So the more rest and nourishment you give to your body, your organs have moved. Your body has popped another human out of it. So it needs certain time to rest and heal. So whatever nourishment you give your body now will have its effect later in your journey of life. So yes, your postpartum is really crucial. Yes, to have some kind of, I also did the spiritual practice of closing the bones. I am not sure if you're aware of it.
No,
So
no.
I had this beautiful person come to my place. There's this ancient East practice of tying your whole body with rebozo, or say scarves. So they tie you up from top to bottom and then they swing you like a baby and they sing to you and do certain spiritual practices on you. So that is like one of the rite of passage that I held for myself. I called someone in my beautiful space and this person held like a ceremony for me. I also planted my placenta in my backyard and did all of those beautiful practices that I wanted to do. So yeah, postpartum was a beautiful time. It was challenging.
I mean, you look like you're glowing, like you've got like a glow about you. So I'm already bought into this practice, but I want to know what you found hard about adjusting, because this was your first, right? And so you,
no matter how supportive your partner or your community is, nobody will ever understand what you're going through. There are moments where I am myself sucked into this hole of thinking, how much more do I have to give? How much more do I have to give? I have to feed and not doubt my milk supply. I have to nurture and then multiply. So what is happening in my inner being, you know? So sometimes having those conversations with myself, I felt very alone in my own body, you know? But understanding that if I listen to my body, it will give me the reasons of being whole, or it will give me the nourishment that I'm looking for. So what I felt challenged by was a lack of maybe more pregnant women or new moms around me, or somebody who can tell me that, hey, this is fine, it will all go away. Now I try and be that person for my friends who are pregnant, because now I understand, you know, the depths of it. But people who haven't been on this journey will be empathetic, will support you, but will never be able to completely, fully understand the cosmic dance of it. Yeah.
Yeah. As you were speaking, I was just casting my mind back to that space where you just feel like a shell of yourself and like so exposed and vulnerable. And it's like, I remember feeling my confidence was sort of stripped away from me, because that confidence that I had as a maiden, I couldn't possibly bring it to life in that newborn state. It needed to morph into something new, and for it to need to more to go into that, you know, that new, it need the old needed to like die, basically, is what I'm saying. And it, that whole process was quite uncomfortable, and I'm actually mentally preparing for that to happen again in a new way, because I feel like I've built so much confidence through becoming a mum, through finding this work. Like, I've expanded in so many ways as a person. Like, who I was 4 years ago is not who I am right now. And it's almost like I'm kind of mentally and emotionally preparing for that to shatter before me, and to just like be stripped bare of everything, and just like everything just falling to the ground. And then I'm there again, this vulnerable shell. And I've got to build up myself and pick up the pieces and find the new and go through that whole process again. And I'm like mentally preparing for it so that it's not a shock, and so that I'm not terribly mourning everything I've built up. And it's not like I'm going to lose it all, because it's now the essence of who I am. But I know that there's going to be the shattering and then the reforming that I have to travel through as this new mother. So that's what I'm kind of, I don't even know how I'm mentally preparing for it. I guess having this conversation and just realizing that it's, yeah, just what's it, it's kind of not pretending it's not going to happen.
Thank you for sharing that. But the beautiful part is that you are also, while you are birthing, you yourself are going through regress amounts and numbers of rebirth. But every time, this is your second time, or less in full honor, maybe it's your third time, You realize that you are this powerful divine goddess, you know. You have so much of capacity in yourself, which maybe the maiden Poppy never had, or which you couldn't ever imagine the guts or the strength of to be whoever you want to be has unleashed once you go through this whole birthing process.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So sex, let's talk about sex postpartum, because when my baby happened, I googled that when is it right time to have sex, and it said 3 weeks, and I was like, you must
know.
And this is a man who has written this article.
Definitely.
It took me 8 months to have a penis inserted in my vagina. 8 months. My body wasn't ready for it. Yes, I enjoyed other parts of getting intimate, and me and my husband were getting intimate maybe after a month or so. But for a month, I was like, I will slap you, or, you know, stay away from me. But there is no education about sex. There's no empowerment. You know, there is so much of doubt in one's body that, oh, when everybody's saying that after 3 weeks is fine, but it's not fine for my body. My body is going through so many hormonal shifts. And the place where the baby kind of came from, it's very fragile, and maybe it might have gone back to its elasticity or its strength or whatever it needs. But there was something that was stopping me, right? So don't be hard on yourself. Sex doesn't define your worth, if you're doing it right or wrong or whatever. Obviously, it won't be same as what it was before the baby, but let me tell you, it will be so much better than what it was before the baby if you are able to tune into the real divine, powerful mother that you are, who has given birth to this soul, and you have all of the energy to have this beautiful, intimate connection with your partner. So don't go hard on yourself. Honor what is happening to you, to your body, in this beautiful unit of your family life, and just go from there.
Absolutely. I think that should read, instead of 3 weeks, when you're ready.
Yeah.
Because there's no set time. You were 8 months. I know one of my friends was more like 2 months. I can't remember. Maybe I was almost like 3 months. And it's when you're ready. So even now, like third trimester, no interest. Nope. Yeah. And I feel like that's my body's way of saying, no, this is not what I want right now. And it's not, you know, it's not long. 12 weeks might be longer for Tom, but it's just like, I'm really honoring that within me. Like I feel like my body is doing something different right now. It doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you've touched on that, because that's a question that comes up a lot. So this has been a lovely conversation. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
Is there anything else that you would like to leave people with? Any kind of closing message? And also, please tell us where, if people want to find you, where could they find you, and how could they work with you? That would also be really useful.
Perfect. The last thought that I have is that getting pregnant or welcoming your baby is not your next milestone. It's not your job or your house or your, you know, your next thing that you want to achieve. It is one of the most divine or powerful thing you will ever do in your life. So if you're deciding now to get pregnant, try and get pregnant in the most conscious, natural, and holistic way possible. Try and let go of the patterns that you carry from your mom or you carry from your grandmother. When you are whole and healed is the time when you are able to give your child the best future possible. So that's my closing thought. It's my mission that I want to work with more women welcoming their baby in the most conscious way possible, because my own mother was physically abused by my father when she was pregnant with me. So whenever I did any kind of healing, it took me back to my mother's womb. So it is my mission to ensure that every womb is a safe space for any child that is coming forward. To work with me, you can just look me up on Instagram. My handle is Oshika, OSHIKAA. Do drop in any query or question. I'm also curating this program or course that one can take to let go of any health issues and challenges like PCOD and PCOS. All of that can be cured through your diet and lifestyle. And I help people heal their traumas to get pregnant in the most conscious way possible. Yeah, that's me.
So you're working mostly with people who haven't yet conceived, is that right?
Yet. Yeah, got it.
Amazing. Yeah, I would have loved to have found you during that time, because I did it all myself. And there really isn't that much out there in the way of like good education and inspiring women leading the way. So yeah, great to have connected with you, and I'm sure you're going to get lots of people messaging. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Poppy. It was so wonderful to chat to you, and lots of blessings and love to the little baby who's inside the oven, taking all of the goodness. Yes.
Thank you.